Hey Trailblazers, this is Jason, your host of the Trailblazing Texas podcast. Before we jump into our latest episode, I've got some incredible news for you. Are you gearing up for your next big hike or backpacking trip? Well, we at Trailblazing Texas podcast have partnered up with Trekker Joe's, the ultimate Texas outfitter, to bring you something I feel absolutely special. Listeners, you of the Trailblazing Texas podcast can now get a one-time 15% off their gear purchases at Trekker Joe's. That's right. Whether you're a first-time customer at Trekker Joe's or a repeat customer like me, you can save big and hit the trails well-prepared. So upon checkout, use code TTP15 to claim your 15% discount and, in the process, support an amazing local Texas business. So happy trails, and don't forget to tell your hiking buddies. Now on with the episode. Welcome to the Trailblazing Texas podcast, where we embark on a journey through our diverse Texas landscapes and breathtaking trails while always engaging with our amazing Texas hiking community. So settle in, tighten up those bootlaces, and get ready for the thrilling tales awaiting for you on this episode. So I think I know the answer to this question, but for this hike, how did you prepare?
I didn't.
You didn't?
I didn't prepare. I guess like physically I didn't prepare, but again, back to that, having my map, studying where I was going to park, where I thought I would be the first night compared to each night, letting my husband know, like, this is my plan. I had a paper map with me as well. So just making sure that I had enough food to get me through. And I always like to have an extra meal or two also, just because if something does happen and you have to stay on, or you're out in somewhere where they can't get to you, where a rescue team couldn't get to you, you are still going to have food. You're still going to have water to get you through that, you know, until somebody can get to you.
And it also, like, sometimes you just overexert yourself and you want two dinners.
Yeah, there's that time too where I'm like, oh, I'm so hungry. Or yeah. Some of the Mountain House that are two servings. Yeah, that's one serving for me at the end of the day. Mm-hmm.
You know what I started doing? It's funny you brought up like dehydrated meals. Is as I approach a backpacking trip, I just take what we have for dinner, dehydrated, like spaghetti. I cooked a fish chowder. I just had a chicken white bean chili, and I just dehydrate it myself. First off, it packs like this.
Yeah.
If you the expense of the dehydrator but then I vacuum seal them, throw them in the freezer, and then when the trip is, I'm ready to go. So at some point, you know, it's cheaper than the dehydrated meals. I know what's in them. So, you know, there's no chemical, I mean, outside of depending on how fresh you want to cook. And man, let me tell you, a lot of times, you know, when you cook something and then you eat it the next night, it just tastes better. But yeah, like these dehydrating my own meals, they are 1,000 times better than peak fuel or, you know, the other meals that I use. And so and it's easy, and it's fun. You know, I started making my own fruit leather, and that's been a lot of fun. But yeah, so I just started that probably the last two trips. So the one in Guad and the one that we just had at South Llano, and it's not a game changer as Trekker Joe's water bottle sleeve holders, but it's close. I'm going to tell you.
Game changer for your wallet.
That's right. Absolutely.
I got a dehydrator and I did some meals for my last trip. I just bought a dehydrator from Goodwill. I found one like brand new, still in the box for like 10 bucks. And I was just first in making, like you said, I was making fruit roll-ups for my kid. I was making like dried fruit snack, dried fruit, just to eat dried fruit. But then on my last trip, I was like, I'm going to try to dehydrate some of my own meals. And one that I made was, I think I mentioned it to you before, but it was a tamale, black bean and enchilada sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's just with some little, I think it's yellow bird salsa that I carry the little mini bottle with me. Man, that was like so good and super easy.
Dehydrated meal companies, it's kind of the same stuff. You know, and it's just kind of boring and there's no flavor and you got to bring all this extra stuff, but doing your own meals, you can jazz it up just right out of the get-go.
One meal I like absolutely take on every single trip with me though is Mountain House chicken and dumplings. They are
That's
so
your go-to?
Good. They're so good at the end of the day. I don't know why, but that's like my favorite one. And I take it on every trip.
Have you ever tried to make chicken and dumplings and then dehydrate it?
No, but I'm going to because I make some pretty good chicken dumplings.
Yeah, you should. And then you can compare, like, all right, let's see. Well, so during this trip, was there any gear that you brought that you or didn't bring that you're like, oh man, I wish I would have had it, or why did I bring this because I ended up not needing it?
I think on that trip, if I remember, I brought a book with me, and then I never ended up reading it because I was just like so tired at the end of the day. I'm like, okay, well, that was a pound or two that I didn't need in my bag. Next time I'll just download one on my phone.
Yep.
But I like the feeling of an actual book. I like the smell and the feel of actual books. But yeah, I don't think I never read it. So I was like, yeah, probably won't do that next time.
So what advice would you give to someone that reached out to you that wanted to give it a go?
That loop. I would probably train a little bit more for those steep inclines. Yeah. Especially if you're not in shape like I was. So yeah, probably train.
Yeah. Just being prepared.
Being prepared for those steep climbs. I was like, oh, they won't be that bad. But they were a lot worse than I thought they were going to be.
That's always epic when physically you didn't prepare, and you know, like for me being in the quads, I'm like, oh yeah, that elevation gain is nothing compared to stuff that I've done before, you know. And then I remember it one way, and then when I'm out there and I'm, you know, it's 6 liters you're carrying, I'm like, oh my god. At this trip in October, it was like in the upper 80s. So, and you know, there's no, I mean, there was, but you shouldn't count on it. Usually there's no clouds. So, I mean, I don't care if it's 23 degrees outside, that sun is cooking you. Yeah. And this trip, it was pretty miserable, temperature wise. So, all right. So the next trail, the Goodwater Loop Trail. So tell us a little bit about that. Where is it at and what drew you to it?
That was Georgetown, and that is a 26 mile loop, I believe, around Lake Georgetown. It is pretty rocky compared, like there's a lot of limestone out there, so it's a little harder on your feet. There is a pretty good little road walk across a dam that's in full sun, so that was not a fun part of that trail. There's a couple of Army Corps campsites around it that you can stay in, but there's also primitive that you can find along the way. And what drew me to that one was, get this, it was training to through hike the Lone Star the second time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My girlfriend and I were like, well, let's go practice hiking a little bit. So, because we were going in October, and so we decided to go do the Goodwater in September, like a few weeks before we went to do the Lone Star.
And so did it prepare you?
Did it prepare us? That one was tough. It like broke us down a little bit. Again, heat. It was so hot that weekend, and So we made it about, I think we made 11 miles, 10 or 11 miles, no, 10 miles the first day. And we were supposed to go like 13. I think we were breaking it in half. And we just couldn't get the last 3 miles out. It was so hot and we were running out of water. And the lake was super low, so you couldn't get to the lake to filter. Like the bluffs were too high, you just couldn't get to the lake. And so we ended up staying at one of the Army Corps campsites so we could get water, rest up, and then decide, okay, are we going to bust out 16 miles? Because neither one of us had ever hiked that far in a day. So we got up the next morning and we're like, let's do it. And so we completed the trail the next day with that long road walk.
Nice. So those campsites had water?
Yeah. They were, like I said, it was an established campground. So they had water. There was not water at each campsite, but there was water, a water source there, in the middle of the campground.
And is that area first come, first serve, or is it reservation?
It was reservation, but there was like no one there. And so we were able to go online and book a campsite right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately.
Yeah. And so if you're planning that trip, is it anywhere you want to camp? Is it all where you need a reservation, or there's some first come first serve sites?
So there's like, there are reservation sites and there are a few designated primitive sites. There's like, I think one on each side of the circle there. So,
Okay.
Like I said, we were trying to make it to that one at 13 miles and couldn't find it. And then, so we ended up staying at 11.
So what's the most miles you've done in a day?
16, a little over 16. Yeah. And that's really pushing it for me.
So. Yeah. So if you look at the Goodwater Loop Trail and how would you rate it for someone that's fairly new to hiking and backpacking? Like difficult or manageable or?
I would say manageable, but I would probably say in the range of 1 to 10, I would give it like a 6 for a beginner.
Yeah.
Because of the water and just the heat. It's depending on, I guess, what time of the year you go to, and the terrain is pretty rough.
Yeah.
Pretty beat up. Our feet were pretty beat up on that one.
So what was your favorite part of the trail? Any specific areas that stood out to you?
Yeah, they had a little, and I cannot remember what the name of that thing was, but it was this little waterfall, like a grotto that was out there. And it was just so beautiful. And you could see the lake from it. And then the water was just trickling down and making this beautiful little sound. And there was like a lot of hanging moss from it.
Oh, wow.
And then around the corner from it was like some lily pads and this beautiful little brook. But I, like I said earlier, I think that it fell down like maybe last year or the year before. So it's still there, but it's not as beautiful, I don't think. I haven't been back to check it out, but you know, it fell down, unfortunately.
So were there any sections of the trail that were particularly challenging or maybe kind of unexpected?
Yeah, we knew we had to walk that last bit across that dam, but man, that dam, it was hot. It was black asphalt, pure sun, and just, you know, road walks are not fun. They stink. And I had my sun umbrella with me, and it was just still, I mean, it was just blazing hot. And that last, I think it was, I don't even know how many miles it was to finish that out, but that really tore my feet up being on that hot pavement.
You get the same thing with the Lone Star Hiking Trail. You get, midway into it, and you have, I don't know, what is it, probably in total more than 10 miles of just road walk.
And
you know, you're probably wearing trail runners, and they're not made for road walks. They're yeah, exactly. So yeah, that sucks. So for this trail, probably the same answer. How did you prepare for it?
I didn't.
Yep.
We just said, let's go. And we went.
Nice.
Like I said, I really don't prepare for any, like, I will study it. I will look at the map, kind of check it out, go on Facebook pages and, you know, read people's comments or questions. Ask if I have a question, I'll ask on there. Sometimes I'll get like books. If there's a book about the trail, I'll get that book and read it or peruse through it.
Yeah.
I know the Lone Star has a great one. Goodwater has like a website and I think a Facebook page that you can look on. But yeah, just mainly making sure I research it as much as possible, but like physical preparation, I don't do much of that.
So you got the mental preparation down, the physical preparation. Who needs that?
Just get your mind right.
That's right. So what about, was it pretty crowded?
No, I think we only ran into two other hikers. No, we ran into four hikers on that trail. Yeah. And one of them was just a couple, they were out day hiking. And so they were just doing a little section of it. And then the other two people were two girls that were doing it all in one day. So we were like, go you.
Yeah.
That's an admirable thing, but I don't do it.
Yeah. And also they were not carrying all the gear and stuff. So yeah.
No. But even so, like if I wasn't carrying all the gear, I do not think I could do 26 miles in a day.
You could.
Like maybe I could if I pushed myself, but I just don't really want to do that. It's not something that I'm interested in doing.
Yeah, the longest I've ever hiked was 31.24 miles, and it was on the Lone Star Hiking Trail because I have come to the realization I will never do a long trail. I just wouldn't leave my family for 6 months, yeah. You know, or 5 months.
Yeah.
But I wanted to do a 30-mile day, so I talked Henning into going out with me. And it wasn't bad until about mile 28. And then at mile 28, you're kind of like a zombie. And, you know, we didn't train for it. We just went out and did it. Yeah, so like, you know, but I mean, I'm hiking, you know, every weekend, you know, I don't know, 15 miles, 12 miles, 10 miles. So it wasn't like I just went out of the blue and did it. And about mile 28, I caught myself just being a zombie and just like stumbling through stuff and thinking like, oh my gosh, please let this be over.
Yeah.
And so this year, I wanted to do it last year and it didn't happen because of the floods. But this year, the goal is, and this is with Todd. So if he's listening, I haven't forgot. Joe told us absolutely forget y'all, but JR was like, I'm down. So it's like if one goal doesn't happen, at least the other goal happens. So the overall goal is we do the Lone Star Hiking Trail in 2 days.
Oh my gosh. Y'all are going to try that this year?
Yeah. The plan B is if I'm not able to do it, I want to do a 40-mile day.
Okay.
And so I don't know, but I'm going to try. And so like, you know, I think the goal is that we start to try to do the Lone Star in 2 days. I started working on the planning, like, okay, if we hike 10 miles at, you know, a pace of 2.8 miles, then it would facilitate us being able to break for 30 or 45 minutes. And just hike and just not stop. Don't carry tents. Just cache water. So every 10 miles, just have a cache of water. You know, I'm still working on that, but that's the goal.
Wow. And that's going to be before the end of the year or sometime next year?
Well, it's going to be in the winter. So it really depends on the rain, and I'm not doing it if we, you know, if it's flooded and in a swamp out there. But I think we're, you know, the last we talked, Joe told us forget y'all, and then the three of us were like, oh, I think we should try it.
Yeah, I think Todd broke him when they did Centennial. And they pushed those 20-something mile and up 20-something mile days.
Yeah, Todd's no joke.
Yeah, he's not, he's a beast. Yeah, but going back to, like you said, you just turn into like a zombie, you know, at some point. That happens for me, and like you can't pick up your feet, and then it gets to where you're like sitting on roots, or you know, you're just falling. And I've had that happen to me when I'm like, okay, I'm done, I gotta find a spot. So where it gets
Yeah,
dangerous.
and that's dangerous. Like when you mentally check out, you're in trouble, you know? And yeah, I think that's you know, that also plays into like, you know, what we were talking about, like physically you may not train, but a lot of these hikes and stuff, mentally you have to be present, and that is exhausting. Like you can't take a break, you can't you know, I don't know, like zone off. You have to be in the moment at every aspect, and that also is an exhaustion, and it's something that, you know, that you definitely have to work at.
Yeah, especially if like if you're in a place where there is like dangerous wildlife, you know, you kind of have to have your head on a swivel all the time. Or even as a female solo hiker, when I do go by myself, you know, I'm watching for two-legged animals too, so I'm always aware.
Yeah.
And I'm always checking back behind me, and never wear earbuds or where I can't hear what's going on around me too.
Yeah, that's funny about earbuds. Like, well, for me, and I don't understand why people do, but like for me, I'm outside because I want to hear the birds and the squirrels and the hogs and I don't want to hear music that I can hear. Right now, I could put in earbuds and listen to whatever. So,
There are some times where I'm like, okay, I'll turn my phone on to music just to like give me a little bit of a pep, you know, like, okay, I'm sucking it up right now and I need something to just kind of push me and motivate me a little bit. So I'll turn it on for maybe a song or two, and then okay,
no.
I'm good. Turn that off. But yeah, I'm like you. I like to hear the birds. I like to hear the insects, the frogs, the trees creaking,
Yeah.
water flowing. Yeah.
So right now we've gone over three of your epic hikes. The beauty of these stories, and I hope the listeners really understand this, especially if you're not into hiking and backpacking yet. The majority of your trips may not be successful, and that's
They're not.
okay, right? Yeah, like if it was going to be easy, and if and you were always going to be successful, what fun is that?
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever had a hike where I haven't had something happened, something not fun happened, or you know, or I've completed it. I've had some where I haven't completed, but I still go out and I still get back out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we rate these three hikes, so we had the Lone Star Hiking Trail, the Eagle Rock Loop Trail, and then the Goodwater Loop Trail. Rate those from like first place to third place.
Okay.
What you think was the best to the least, and with your
Okay.
experience and you
I
know.
think Lone Star would be number one just because it's in my home state. It was my first, like, what I did my first solo on, even though it wasn't a long solo, but it was, you know, I accomplished that on my own by myself, and I knew I could do it. And then just I've section hiked it with my husband and friends and our little boy, and
And
just had fun
you
climbing
destroyed your little boy.
mountains. Yes, we destroyed our little boy. Can I go into that now?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so our first, no, it was our second time on the Lone Star. We took Sebastian, and he was 8, he was 8 at the time. And we started at Bath Road and then we're going to Fort Notch Trailhead. And that's Trailhead 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
So because Joe and I had stopped at our first section hike, we had stopped there. And that's a whole nother story too. but so Sebastian is his name and we call him Dash, but I think we had planned 17 miles over the weekend with this little tiny 8-year-old. And we had him carrying his own pack. It wasn't super heavy at that point, but yeah, it was pretty heavy for him probably. And Joe and I ended up like taking some of his weight and putting in our packs. But about a mile and a half in, he tripped on a route and fell on his hands and got a puncture in his palm. And so we cleaned it up really well, you know, kept on trucking and got to camp that night, and his hand had kind of swollen up. And I was like, and he's like, Mom, this hurts. And I was like, okay, well, let me clean it. We cleaned it up again, wrapped it up. We were like closer to the car than we were going backwards at that point. And so we're just like, we're going to keep going tomorrow and your hand will be fine. So we got, I don't know, a couple of miles from the Trailhead 8 the next day. And he's like, I can't go any further. My feet hurt. Like, he's like, I'm done. He was crying. He was upset. His hands were hurting. His feet were hurting. So we're like, okay. So we sat, Joe and him sat down on the side of the road, and I hiked the rest of the way to the Trailhead to go get the car and come back and get them. Well, that puncture wound, unbeknownst to us, had about a dime-sized piece of wood in his hand that we had to have surgically removed. Like, he had to be put to sleep.
Oh, and my gosh.
He's still, like, traumatized. He's like, I'm not good. He hates hiking. He'll tell you he hates hiking, and it's because of that. So he's like, y'all pushed me too hard. I had that happen to me. So he's like, I'm never going hiking again, which he has. He's gone. But we make sure he has a very light load, and we don't go as far. But yeah, that little boy did about 15, 16 miles over that weekend with a piece of wood in his hand. And
golly.
And his feet hurting. And then also on the night that the first night when we had got into camp, it was super cold. And I had just made a Mountain House meal. And I was like, oh, I thought I was going to be so smart and like put this Mountain House meal under my jacket up against me to like keep warm. Well, the darn thing, it was chilly. So the darn thing popped open and like boiling hot chili was all over my stomach.
Oh my gosh.
And so I'm like throwing it off, like trying to get it off of me. And it gave me like second degree burns. I had blisters. It was bad. And then I was like, Joe, I need the first aid kit. Like, find me some gauze or, you know, something to put over this and some tape. Well, he had left the gauze out of the first aid kit. So I had, and this is funny and probably TMI, but I had a panty liner with me. I taped a panty liner onto my stomach to cover the burn.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
And so, yeah, so we were just laughing about that. And yeah, but yeah, you know, we had some bad things happen, but we still go out and hike. So back to the question. Yeah. Lone Star number one, just because I've had so many, you know,
right,
fun, not so fun memories on it. Two would be Eagle Rock, just because it was amazingly beautiful. And then three would be Goodwater.
So you really think the Eagle Rock is worth it? Because, like,
yeah,
I'm looking for a place in February, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, and I don't know if I'll let this come out in the episode. But, you know, I've hiked and backpacked all of the Guadalupe Mountains. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done every peak there. I've connected almost everything you could possibly connect. And this last time, and also like just talking to Henning, like I really started to get the urge to, you know, and that's kind of like, I'm usually there a couple times a year, but, and I, you know, I go in October and February, but now I'm really starting to get, not so much to get outside of Texas, but, you know, to go see what else is out there. Like, you know, I've been to Rainier a few times, the Olympics, I've hiked in other places, but like, is to kind of break away from the quads, and God, I can't believe I'm saying this. And, I even have the ink of the quads, yeah. but yeah, you know, and so that Eagle Rock Loop has been brought up, because, you know, I can get up there pretty quick.
Yeah.
If I wanted to day hike it wouldn't be a big deal, but, yeah. Or, you know, just have an overnight. It's interesting to me to get your perspective on that trail, knowing as experienced, of a hiker and backpacker that you are, that, you know, that it, that you feel that it would be worth going out and, experiencing it.
Yeah, I think it's definitely worth it.
All right. So this is the last trail. And I think this is the one I can't wait for. Like, I'm excited about this one, the Centennial Trail.
Oh gosh. Another fail.
I'm not sure if you know this or if Joe said don't tell you, but, you know, we saw a picture of you, and your face did not look happy.
Was it when I was doing that Mount Rushmore?
No, I think you were. I think it was a picture of you. Were you changing or tending to your feeding?
Oh.
And we were asking Joe, like, hey, you know, how's it going? How's she doing? And she just sent the picture, and it looked like you wanted to take a sledgehammer and smash bones, smash hiking gear. And so
kind of, David.
Yeah, just set up. Okay. Where is it? Where is the trail? Kind of like, what are the.
South Dakota in the Black Hills. And it's 126 mile-ish, it's debatable. Some people say it's like 121. Some people say it's 130. So I don't know. It's somewhere in between there.
And where is it located?
In South Dakota, in the Black
Hills. South Dakota, yeah.
Yep.
And you were going to hike all 100 and something miles?
I was going to hike all 100 and something miles. Yep. And I ended up doing about 40.
All right, so this is the first stupid question that I'm going to ask. How did you prepare for it?
Again, maps, studying the book. There is a book to it. Being on their Facebook page, with, you know, reading questions of other hikers that have hiked it. Todd, actually, and Joe, and one of their other friends, Kyle, hiked it last year. And so I was just getting, you know, some advice from Joe. He was getting advice from Todd to give to me. So, yeah, that's how I prepared, just mentally.
And not physically?
No.
That's what I was getting to.
No, I think I did a few, like, short little day hikes around my neighborhood a few weeks before that. But, like, I think I touched on it before, where that's the one I was like, oh, I've got 3 or 4 months. Oh, I've got 2 months. Oh, I've got a week. So,
and like for me, yeah. And before we get into the questions, like for me, that's a serious hike, that you're not next to towns all the time. No. And also the wildlife doesn't joke around out there.
No, it does not. There's a much different wildlife there. There's bison, there's mountain lion, but there's also nice little wildlife like prairie dogs.
So what motivated you to, like, we're talking about the Lone Star Hiking Trail. You had a couple of runs at it, almost completed it. You know, we're in the 90 mile range.
Yeah.
Then the next two trails, you know, are in the 26, 27 mile range. And now you're like trying to hit this sucker out of the park with, you know, 100 and something miles where you could, wildlife wants to
kill you.
And like, what it's like, yeah, like how did that come why about? Like,
why do you want to do this, Robin? Yes. Okay, so going back to what you said, like you hike the Guadalupe all the time and you kind of want to get out and do something else different. I am like, so I'll get bored of one thing and I'm like, I want to go see something different. I want to do something different. I want to be in a different environment. I want to be in a different state. I want to see what other, you know, what other areas there are that have different surroundings than we do. And then also it was a motivation for me because my husband had hiked it the year before. So I'm like, well, if you can do it, I can do it.
He made a joke during our episode that he goes, yeah, he goes, to be honest, like you, Robin, you have done more backpacking and solo trips than him.
Yeah, he's never soloed.
Yeah.
Actually, I take that back. He did Goodwater Loop in Georgetown by himself.
Yeah.
So.
That doesn't count. It's like right down the street.
Does that count?
No.
Okay, so then he's never soloed.
Don't tell him I said that, but yeah, it doesn't count.
The time he went to Lone Star, he had planned to solo it. And he had been talking to someone on the Facebook page and they like started messaging each other. And so they kind of like had been talking and knew each other. And this guy, I can't even remember the guy's name now because he doesn't stay in contact with him, I don't think anymore. But the guy ended up being out on trail the same time Joe went out. And so they ended up meeting by coincidence on the first night that Joe was out. And then they hiked the rest of the trail together.
Yeah.
And then same thing with all the other hikes. He had met Kyle on like one of the Facebook pages. And so he started hiking with Kyle and then Todd got into the mix. And so, yeah.
You know, you have Joe, Todd, Kyle as references, your own research. Mm-hmm. You start to understand that this trail is no joke. Not that mm-hmm. the other trails were a joke, but this is a different level of a trail. And that didn't click you to, hey, maybe I should prepare, not mentally prepare, physically prepare a little bit more.
I mean, it did, but I just, you know, life happens and I'm a busy lady and I had the ones like you have where I'm going to set my alarm and I'm going to get up and this is the day. And then it was the next day and the next day and the next day. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yep.
So the 40 miles that you got into the trail, how would you compare it to the other trails that we've talked about?
Much more difficult.
What, much with more this elevation?
Elevation, terrain, and the wildlife. Having to, because I encountered several bison. I mean, and some of them were singlets and some of them were herds that I was having. They would be standing right where I needed to go.
Oh, man.
And so I was having to bushwhack around them and, you know, go through these crazy, like one time I had to go bushwhack around and then down a ravine and up back up it and then try to find my trail again. And it was difficult because it was full of brush and briar and so I'm like, you know, bushwhacking through all that and you're trying to keep the bison in your sight still and make sure they're not coming near you, making sure you look out for that hooked tail because that means they're you know, they're not happy with you. So yeah.
Jeez. And so, like, there's really no comparison to that trail to what you've experienced before in anything else, really.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had been on in Yellowstone, in the backcountry of Yellowstone, and we had come across some bison, but it was just the mm-hmm. one time, the one herd. Every day I was on trail, that 40 miles, in 3 days, I had bison encounters.
Were there other hikers as well?
I came up on, let's see, a couple of day hikers that lived in the area and were just out for the day. And then I came up on one other backpacker. actually, he came up on me the first day and he had caught up to me. And I was like slowly and steadily like huffing it up one of the mountains or hills, they call them. Full sun. It was like 96 degrees that day, which is,
oh my gosh,
you know, it's not normal for South Dakota. So just sweating and huffing and puffing. And he came up behind me. He's like, how you doing? And I was like, not so great right now. And then he passed me up and he stopped for a break up ahead of me. And so I stopped and talked to him for a second. But yeah, he was out trying to yo-yo it unsupported, trying to get an FKT. So I was like, wow. Good for you. But then ended up, his name was Mav. His trail name was Mav. And it ended up, funny story, Joe and Todd had been, and Kyle were shuttled by Mav last year when they were on trail.
Really?
And yeah, but I didn't know that. I didn't know his name was Mav because Joe was referring to him by his actual name. And so then when I met up with Joe that evening at my first camp, I told him, you know, hey, there's this guy out here, Mav. He's, or I didn't say it. I don't think I said his name. I said, there's this guy out here. He's trying to yo-yo it with it for an FKT unsupported. And he's like, oh, my friend so-and-so, he's out, he's trying to do that too. And I said, well, he better get hurry up and get out of here because this guy's pretty trying. Well, it ended up being the same person. Like Joe and I figured it out like day two or three. I was like, he goes, yeah, I messaged him and told him you were out here. And I was like, yeah, Mav. He goes, that's the same person.
Oh my gosh.
But he ended up actually coming off trail too after like 3.5 days because just the weather, he said it was unseasonably hot. It just, you know, wasn't the right time for him. He wasn't feeling it. So
yeah, he can't do it.
He couldn't do it.
So what's it like for you? I mean, Joe's up there supporting you. You're by yourself setting up camp, knowing that there's mountain lion, there's bison that could just roll through there. Like, how did that mentally play into all this?
Yeah. So on that trail, the days that I was on it, I wasn't ever camping by myself. I always met up with Joe.
Oh, okay.
So there was a couple of days where I was supposed to camp by myself, but it ended up where I ended up back with him. So I didn't camp alone any on that trail.
You don't have to answer this question, but when you were out there hiking, do you carry?
I do not. I carry a knife and I have taken some self-defense classes.
Yeah.
And I'm still taking them. I'm not proficient at it by any means, but I at least know, you know, how to get myself away from somebody if I need to.
Hit them in the good spots.
Yeah, I've thought about carrying, but it's not that I have anything against carrying. I just haven't got there yet. And I need to find, like, you know, you're always worried about weight. And so how heavy do you want, you know, you got to find the small little pistol or something that doesn't weigh a lot. Yeah. And where do you, you know, what's a comfortable place to carry it with your backpack on and all that. I can find all those answers, but I just haven't gotten to that point yet.
Yeah. And like for me, I don't usually carry, I have before, and it's only because of the two people or the two legged animals, not the four legged.
And I'm the opposite where like you don't hardly come across anybody on trail a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. So you are like, I don't know. I just don't feel ever like I'm in danger of that.
No. So I don't know if you've heard, I'm always, my hiking partner Henning, he's an ex-Marine sniper. So he has like some cool scopes. And one of our goal is to get out and just camp out on a ridge line with these scopes and try to find a mountain lion at Guadalupe Mountains.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's I want to see a mountain lion so bad. Under the right circumstances, let me rephrase that. Like, but yeah, so that's kind of a goal that we have is to just to you know, dusk and dawn, just kind of chill out on a ridge and just, it would also facilitate, you know, any animal. It would be cool just to watch them from a distance and them not really knowing that you're there.
Mountain lions know you're there.
Absolutely. There's mountain lions that have watched us because, you know, we did the quad. We're always in the back country there. They're licking their chops as we walk by.
Oh, yeah. Don't they say they see you like probably 10 or 15 times before you would even notice they were there?
Yeah. And if they're going to attack, they're coming from behind and you'll never know.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a lady that I call her Ranger Pam, and I've talked to her off and on for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, and always ask her about the mountain lions because she's seen them out there. And she's also involved in all the rescues and recoveries in the park. See, and so in talking to her, sometimes I get some of the information that's not publicly available through, you know, news articles and stuff. So, and she's spectacular. Like, she is absolutely spectacular. Yeah. So, you know, I'm always asking her about the mountain lions and stuff. So yeah, she's a really neat person to get to know, but you know, you meet people and you know, they're just connected. Like there's something special about them that they are just connected. And some of the stories, you know, over the years of her many, many years of rescuing people and really being all over the country as part of these rescue programs, she is connected to the mountains, to nature. There's a connection that she has that way different than anything that I've ever experienced. And yeah, she's absolutely spectacular. All right, back to Centennial Trail. What do you think are some standout features of the trail that may be a little bit different than what you're normally used to, at the Lone Star Trail or here in Texas?
Yeah. So, one thing I really, really noticed was the rock. There is a lot of, quartz there and like obsidian. I guess that's why they call it the Black Hills. And then also, another thing that is really cool, that there's a view of Mount Rushmore from that trail.
Really?
So you can have a different perspective of Mount Rushmore than, you know, the tourist that's going up to the park and seeing Mount Rushmore from the park.
All right. So, okay, we know physically you didn't prepare. Mentally, we understand, you know, how you go about with the maps and the research and stuff. For this particular hike, being that it was maybe something that you were not used to mileage wise and just really overall, was there anything that you did differently going into that hike than kind of normal?
Not really. Well, I would say like my husband came and supported me, and that's not a normal thing that I do when I hike around here. If he knows where I'm at, he knows what I'm doing, but for this one, he is like, this is different. This is far, way far away from home. So I don't, you know, I want to be where I can get to you quicker if I need to. So that was something that was really special, that he was able to go up there and kind of just stay around where I was, making sure that if he needed to get me off trail or whatever, then it was easy for him to do so. So that was nice.
Yeah, I remember when this was happening and you guys were planning it out, that was something that he mentioned a few times that was important. So getting out the orders and making sure that he was going to be there, you know, he put in the work.
He did. And I'm so appreciative, because if he wouldn't have been there, I would have been like, I don't know if I would have just, and you know, I don't know if that him being there was like a scapegoat almost for me at times when I had the blisters and I was like, okay, I can't go anymore. I have to get off trail. So it was easy for me to get off trail because he was there. Had he not been there, that would have been a whole different story. You know, would I have kept pushing? Would I have gotten off trail and had somebody, you know, a shuttle person come pick me up, you know? So that could have turned out a lot differently if he wasn't there.
So what do you think the main challenges that you faced during the hike? And then eventually, what got you off trail? Like, what was the reasoning where you said, all right, maybe next year?
Yeah, so just that first day was 96 degrees. I'm in full sun on some of these peaks. And I had started developing the blisters. And I did everything that I normally do for my feet. You know, I was changing my socks. I had the Moleskine. I had Happy Toes on. Nothing different than I normally do. So I don't know if it was the heat of the day plus the friction of the up and down that I'm not quite used to that created those blisters. And then just the heat of that day was awful. And so then I went about 15, 16 miles that first night because you have to, because there's nowhere to legally camp because it's in that part of the park that it's not allowed. And so I got to camp and I was hot and my feet hurt and I had the blisters. And so the next morning they kind of puffed up and we drained them and I kept going and they got a little worse. But it was nice and cool that next day. So I was like, okay, this is fine. I can do this. And then when I got to camp that night, the blisters were swollen up again, filled up again, rubbing. Just, you know, nothing felt great on my feet, no matter what I was doing. And then so day three, I took a break. I didn't go on trail at all. And then day four, I was like, okay, got this, fixed up the blisters. You know, made it from that campsite to Mount Rushmore, which was, I think, 6 or 7 miles. And that last mile to get, there's a little spur trail that goes from the main trail to see Mount Rushmore in the park. And so I had met Joe and Sebastian up there, and that was like straight up. It was very steep for that mile. And so that was rubbing on my blisters some more, and it was hot that day again. We had lunch. I said, okay, I'm going to keep going. I think I had about 8 miles to go that day, and I made it another 3 or 4, and I was just going so slowly, and I had the blisters had filled up again. I tried to fix them on trail, draining them, popping them again, padding them up. And then as I was coming down an incline, I slipped because it was like really loose rock. And I slipped. I didn't fall all the way down, but I slipped just enough to irritate an old MCL tour tear that I had. And so my knee was kind of bothering me a lot. And so I had slowed down for just hiking like so slowly. And I was like, I'm never going to make it to camp before dark. Like, this is just, I was just in pain and it was so hot. The blisters were, every step I took was just painful. My knee was hurting and I didn't want to hurt my knee anymore. Mostly that was it. I didn't want to hurt my knee anymore than I had already had, because in my younger years, I have just kept pushing. That's how I hurt my knee in the first place. On an OC, I was doing an obstacle course race. And like the third obstacle was a wall that I was jumping over, and I heel hooked it and tore my MCL, hurt it pop and everything, and then finished the race on one leg and upper body. So I've gotten to the point where I'm like, okay, I need to listen to my body more. And so, you know, I was just done at that point. And so I had no cell service. So I contacted Joe on my emergency locator.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, okay, I need to come off trail. He had told me he was going fishing at a lake nearby. And I said, go to this lake instead. And then when I got service, I was able to call him and be like, okay, this is where I'm going. Cause I looked at my map and I figured out that I could get off trail by taking this little spur down to this other lake. And so I was able to meet him there. But yeah, so just not the right time for me that year.
So that it always interests me, the thought process to call it, like what goes through your mind. So, and there's so many people that you read about. I listen to books and I love them, not because I'm a sicko, but like, you know, people mountaineering or hiking and, you know, something horrific happens. And, you know, there's so much to learn from these stories. And it's just a fine line. Like, a lot of times, if they would have just stopped when they thought they should have stopped, they'd be here today, you know? And so, you know, you being in that situation, how hard was it to call it?
It was really hard because I had been having this in my head for months that this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to finish this. I told Joe I'm not going to quit. Like I told other people, I'm not going to quit. And so you feel like you lost, you know, you didn't win your own battle. And you're like, hey, you body. Because in my head, I was like, I can still do this, but it was my body. And, you know, I had to listen to my body because I'm not old, but I'm not young. And I just didn't want to tear my body up anymore. And also, if I had kept going and hurt my knee more, then I'm in a place where I had checked my maps and I was like, if I keep going, there's nowhere for me to bail out. And so that would have put me in more danger. So I was like, you know, I have to be safe. I have to listen to my body, even though my mind is like, this sucks. I really wanted to finish this, but it's just not the time. You know, going back to giving it to God, like, pray about it, listen to him, listen to yourself. So
yeah,
your body.
And I, you know, you're 100% right. And, you know, I think a lot of times it's our ego. Like, yes, you know, you said, I told people that I was going to do this and I can't not do it. I've been there tons of times and it was really hard for me to get to the place where, and I think it was on one episode early. I'm actually still editing the episode. And we recorded it a long time ago, where it's at some point they just realized that, it's not about the accomplishment. It's about the journey, you know, and like, we should just take a step back. Like, if I finish or not, like, who cares? How blessed I am to have this opportunity just to be out here. Yeah. And yeah, I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to give it my best.
Yeah. Because so many people don't get that blessing and that opportunity to see all that is in creation. Like, you know, I was talking about the Fibonacci pattern and just the tiny little minute details of everything that is out there. And what a blessing to get to see that and get to feel that, you know, you're just alone out there with God and his creation. And it's just amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a hard pill to swallow. And also, like, you know, I have way more failures at Guadalupe Mountains or my quest to hike the 10 highest peaks in Texas, or like way more failures than successes, more tears than of sadness than happiness. But you just gotta understand it's the journey, man. That's what should matter for sure.
Yeah.
So as we kind of start to wrap up, is there anything you would like to share with our listeners about the Centennial Trail? Any funny stories?
Yeah, just like the Centennial is awesome with all the wild, but that was my favorite part, was all the wildlife. Like, how often are you going to see, like, there was one section where I was in a prairie dog village, basically thousands of these little prairie dogs just chirping away. And in the same area was an entire bison herd. And then there were also these beautiful deer, you know, so, and then the birds chirping. So I saw all of this and like, just this one little section area of the trail. And if I hadn't done that, or if I hadn't done even the 40 miles, I would have never seen that.
No.
Never experienced that.
And what about I forgot to ask you, what about the water carry? How important or how crucial was that in your planning?
So that trail is pretty plentiful with water. I think there's one section of it towards the end that is dry right now. And I don't know if it's all, I don't think it's always dry, but it's been dry for a little while. And especially this year, I don't think they've gotten the rain that they normally get. And so Joe was meeting me with water if I needed it, or cashing it for me if I needed it. But yeah, but most of the time I had water available.
All right, cool. All right. So as we kind of get into to closing this out, and I know you're busy and I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but I have a few more questions. Just real quickly, what's your next hike?
My next hike? I actually want to go back and finish the Centennial at some point.
Does that mean like the whole thing or from mile 41 to whatever?
No, I would do the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Because like I'm a purist, and so I want to be able to say I finished it all in one.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think I have a couple of girlfriends that want to go do the Eagle Rock Loop. So I'm planning on going with them, and that's probably going to be in early 2025. Unfortunately, the rest of this year, my schedule is so full of homeschooling and holidays and all that, I probably won't get out for a longer hike, but yeah. And then, I just really want to finish the Centennial, and then I'll decide what my next one is. Oh, John Muir. The John Muir Trail is one that I really have on my bucket list.
Oh, yeah, that's...
And I will be physically preparing for that one.
Yeah, you better be.
I read a book about that trail, and I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds awesome. And then maybe when I'm empty nester like you are, I want to go do the El Camino.
That would be a nice one. What about Joe? Does he have any bucket list hikes that you know about?
He wants to do the Colorado Trail, I know for sure. Yeah, he wants to do one of the long ones. Yeah. But that's probably the empty nester.
Yeah, I think Lori said when I retire that it's cool if I do, like, I want to do the Washington, like, I want to do the PCT, but just the Washington section. So I want to do it with my friend John. So that has been approved, and you know, we negotiated.
I think Joe wants to do that one too. Neither one of us are really interested in doing the Appalachian or the Appalachian.
Yeah, it's so the inventor of Trail Brush was on the podcast. One of the very first episodes that I did,
I used it for the first time in Centennial, and it was awesome.
Yes. So I had Andrew on, and he goes, look, and he's almost like whispering on the podcast. And he's like, look, the AT is not that spectacular. You're never too far away from a town. And he goes, it's just like you're going on a 4 or 5 night backpacking trip between Dollar Generals.
I've never heard it explained that way.
Yeah. And he goes,
I've heard of it as like the green tunnel.
Yeah. All right, last two questions. A new hiker backpacker comes to you, what is one piece of gear that you would recommend to them?
Well, shameless plug, my husband and I make Trekker Joe's water bottle sleeves, so that's the number one. It's just a cool piece of gear to have, we think.
You guys make a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's all amazing. I think I have at least two or three of everything you guys make.
Yeah, you're one of our biggest fans, so thanks.
Yeah, and to the listeners, like, it's absolutely not because you guys are cool people. It's absolutely not because you guys are from Texas. It's absolutely mm-hmm. because the gear is a game changer.
Thank you.
And I'm not into gear reviews and all this stuff, but mm-hmm. I definitely, when something positively impacts me the way like those water bottle sleeve holders have, weight distribution, I can't reach back and grab water.
Yeah.
I mean, I like, they're all hanging up right here. I have six of them, you know? And so the goal is every backpack I have two. Yeah. So you're absolutely right. I totally agree with you. That is, if someone was coming to me and saying, look, you know, what is a piece of gear that you would recommend? Like, I have tons of backpacks. None of them impact me in a, like, it's a backpack. Yeah. I have tons of tents. It's a tent. Like, okay, some maybe are a little bit lighter or this or that. Sleeping pads, you know, I'm outside. I'm not probably going to sleep good anyway. So if I have but that water bottle, having it in the front, using smart water bottles and not bladder, absolutely is a game changer. So yeah, I agree with you.
Thanks. And then another piece of gear that is not ours, for females only, is a P-style funnel, which maybe TMI too, but I don't like to have to expose myself fully. And so this allows you to basically stand. I don't have to take my backpack off if I don't want to, you know, I don't have to stop, take my backpack off, take everything down, have myself exposed in the middle of the woods where there could be hunters that I don't see, but they see me, you know, those kinds of things. So,
but that works.
Yeah, it works.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So say that again.
It's the P style.
P style, and I guess Amazon or something.
Yeah, you can get them on Amazon. I think Garage Grown Gear carries them as well.
Okay.
But I highly recommend for females. I have a couple of friends that bought one just because I was using one. It is kind of funny, like if you happen to look over and see your girlfriend standing while peeing. And it makes life so much easier on trail for me. So
yeah, I mean it's having the feeling of not being as exposed as probably normally, I think is goes into that whole thing of feeling safe and facilitating you wanting to get out in the woods, you know.
Yes, so. Exactly.
All right, so we definitely agree on the gear. And the next question, it's similar. So new hiker, backpacker, what is one piece of safety advice that you would recommend to them?
I can't say it enough. Always, always make sure someone knows where you're going and your itinerary while you're there.
Yep. Hey. Every episode, I've answered the same question. I mean, so you must have been listening to the episodes because we have the same answers for the last two questions. And it's free.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything.
You don't need a Garmin. You don't need special gear. You just need to be able to communicate some way, somehow to someone to let them know what you're doing. And again, like when Lori leaves the house to go just on a neighborhood hike, she tells me I'm going hiking. I'm going to walk here and I'm going to go there and do the loop in the park and come back. Mm-hmm. So, and I know how long it's going to take her. And you don't deviate from that.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, a neighborhood hike, knowing where you're going in a neighborhood hike in population is probably even more so than being out in the woods, and because there's just more, the two-legged people are more dangerous and more, you know, there's more of them
in the absolutely neighborhood. All right, well, I think I have taken up way too much of your time. I have truly enjoyed this. I can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast again. I enjoy these types of episodes where, you know, like you have, like yourself, a female hiker, you're doing epic stuff that it's okay. Get out and do it. Like, you know, there's no reason why you can't get out in the woods or, you know, some epic hikes. Watch out for front porch cameras. I mean, all that stuff, you know? So yeah, I definitely thank you. And one time, let us know, what is the best ultralight gear company in the world?
Trekker Joe's.
If you know, I don't have the URL in front of me, but if you just Google Trekker Joe's,
trekkerjoes.org.
Yes. And they have the absolute best gear around. Robin,
thanks
again. Thank you so much. Go. Hopefully Joe is cooking dinner for you guys today. And you know, you just have a,
I don't know about that one.
Podcasting is probably,
I'm surprised he hasn't been here.
I hope he does.
Been in here.
I was expecting him to be walking by and, you know, but no, for again, I greatly appreciate it. And
yeah, it's fun. I've had fun. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Anytime that you have an epic hike or you want to come on the podcast, you know, definitely let me know. You will always be welcomed.
And that wraps up another exciting episode of the Trailblazing Texas podcast. We hope you enjoyed the episode today and stay tuned for our next episode where we will pick back up where we left off and guarantee to uncover many more hiking gems and share many more tips to enhance your experience on the trail. Until then, happy trails and happy hiking.